welcome you to His Tabernacle Family Church, where our goal is to help you become successful in your relationship with Jesus. The first step? Join us in the Connect Room directly following service. This is for anyone who does not feel like they are connected to the family of God. Step two is to help discover more about God, yourself, and the church through Discover classes and Discover Weekend. You can get more info in the Connect Room. The third step leaves all the choices up to you. To develop, one, your faith through classes, two, your relationships through groups, or three, God's church through serving. Finally, we want to help you lead in life. Step four is a course to equip you with biblical principles for success, influence, and leadership. Come and connect after service to take your next step today.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are you this morning? All right, we got a live group this morning. I'm going to ask for your help, okay? We're going to do announcements this morning. We have four announcements. Three you can help me with, one you'll watch. How about that? Okay, here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to make the announcement of what the announcement is. You repeat after me, then I'll explain the announcement. How about that? You ready? Okay, let's go. Announcement number one, Connect Room. All right. If you're new or looking for to get more connected, we encourage you to visit the Connect Room immediately after church. It will be in the hallway on the left where you get a chance to meet some of our staff and learn about the church, okay? Announcement number two, Discover Class. Oh, come on. Come on now, help me out here. You said you were going to help me. Announcement number two, Discover Class. All right. A four-week class every Sunday at 9:30 that will help you discover more about God, more about yourself, and more about the church. Announcement number three, groups. All right. Life is better with groups. Join a group today by visiting the group desk out in the foyer. Okay, or you can find out about groups by checking our website. All right. Announcement number four, you get to watch a message from Pastor Spencer.
We love you. You can see us in the parking lot. Come on, you've seen us in the parking lot.
Yeah.
We love you.
It's fun greeting.
Problem.
We're quarantined. Because of New York State travel regulations.
Yes.
So we won't be in the sanctuary today. We will be next week.
Yes.
Once we get cleared and everything's set.
Yes.
So we love you and have an awesome service today.
Yes, we're bummed out. We love you, but we'll see you in the parking lot. We'll wave at you. We'll be cold. You'll be warm, but you'll know our love because it's warming you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, y'all. Merry Christmas. Goodness gracious, y'all, I'm so happy to be here. Y'all happy to be here? There are so many families that I haven't seen in so long that, like, I'm holding back tears because I'm so happy to see you guys. So turn to your neighbor and say, I love you. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I love you. Turn to your other neighbor and just look at him. Now say, I love you. Wow, I love y'all too. Thank you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask y'all to come on and just stand up on your feet. We're going to go into a time of praise and worship. And if you would like, just remember, if you would like, you can come up to the altar. Just remain 6 feet away from your neighbor, please. Just remain 6 feet just to, you know, be in guidelines and all that. To stay safe. We want to stay safe in the house of the Lord. Right? Thank you, Dean. All right, y'all ready to praise? Because I'm ready to praise. All right, no. Y'all ready to praise? Because I'm ready to praise. Sing this with me, say.
He gave me a reason to dance, hallelujah. Gave me a reason to dance. He gave me a reason to dance, hallelujah. Gave me a reason to dance. He gave me a reason to dance, hallelujah. Gave me a reason to dance. He gave me a reason to dance,
hallelujah.
He gave me a reason.
He gave me a reason.
It's amazing to be in the house of God, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Right? And liberty means freedom. So being totally 100% free from what people think about you, from what you think about yourself, from what the enemy's trying to tell you on a day-to-day basis, you have total freedom. So when we're singing, "He gave me a reason to dance," you're getting your freedom and you're praising for it. You know, so right now in Jesus' name, I rebuke the spirit of depression. I rebuke the spirit of anxiety. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity. And I release the spirit of liberty. I release the spirit of peace. I release the spirit of happiness. I release the spirit of gladness, because he gave me a reason to dance. And I will dance forevermore. So not only do you have freedom, not only will you see miracles, signs, and wonders, but you will literally see the glory of God, right? Who wants to see the glory of God this morning? No, who wants to see the glory of God this morning? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Come on and sing this.
Jesus,
the one who broke these chains and took away my shame.
Yeah.
There is only
last time, come on and shout it out, say,
give me Jesus, give me Jesus,
the one who broke these chains
and took away my shame. There is only one for me.
The only lasting thing is you. You are forever, you are forever. You are the one that I run to. You are my treasure, you are my treasure. You are the lasting thing is you. You are forever,
you are forever.
Come on and shout this out.
As you're singing this, you're getting healed. As you're singing this, you're getting free.
Because
he took away my shame. I lied last time. Come on, that's so good.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. The one who broke these chains and took away my shame. There is only one for me.
Thank you, Father God.
There is only one for me. I love you, Jesus.
Come on, come on.
I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. If you love him, sing with me. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you.
Just want to tell you.
Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
And I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
And I need you, Jesus.
What a powerful proclamation. I love you, Jesus. Man, as we're declaring that, I feel like there's people who want to say that with everything that they have, but they know that there's something in the way. Scripture says that if we lay down every weight, every sin, so that we can refocus. I really just believe, and not out of condemnation, just God's always an invitation, right? I really feel that God's in this place, and some people are they want to say this with everything that they have, but they know, oh, I still got this weight. I still got this thing in my hand. I did this yesterday. I did this last week. I still got this thing. And you're saying it, but you're like, man, but I know I'm not there. And there's an invitation. People will look at conviction like it's bad. Conviction's not an indictment. It's an invitation to lay things aside and fix the relationship. And I just feel like there's, honestly, a spirit of conviction in this place. It's not a bad thing. To lay down those weights, to lay down those things so we can fully say, I love you, Jesus. More than anything, I love you, Jesus. You see, people... when we get in the presence of God, it's not just healing. It's not just purpose. It's not just promise, but it's also becoming more like Him. So we're going to sing this again, and maybe you're saying in this place, like, man, I want to say this, but I know there's this one thing. Man, bring it to Jesus right now. Don't waste time. Don't wait till later. Just you and God. Just go ahead and give it to him. And let's declare this with everything that we have in this room, that I love you, Jesus. That there's no wait, there's no issue, there's no thing between us. But I love you, Jesus, more than anything. Amen? Amen. Can we lift our hands just from the back to the front? Come on, it's just a position of surrender of I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Come on and declare it.
I love you,
come on,
Jesus.
If you need to lay something down, lay it down.
I love
if not,
you,
declare
Jesus.
This. I love you, Jesus.
I love you,
we
Jesus.
Love you, Father. Come on and say it. Come on and declare it. Come on, from the back to the front. And sing that, just the voices.
I love you, Jesus.
We love you, Father.
I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus.
So, Father, let it be known. Let it be known in heaven today that this room loves you. Lord, that we want you, we need you more than anything. There's nothing that could replace you. There's nothing that could overtake you. There's nothing greater than you. So, Father, I pray that today, as we continue in your presence, as we continue in your service, the Lord will be more like you, will grow more like you, will know more of you, and will live more like you. That, Father, we're here to know you and to make you known. So, Jesus, we love you. Come on, in your name. Amen. 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 If you love the presence of God, if you love Jesus, come on, just give it up for the next 20, 30 seconds. Come on, we love you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, that you're not a dead God, that you're still alive, and what relationship, that you're here and now. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Amen. 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 Come on, you guys can go ahead and grab a seat. As we're not done. We're just getting started with Jesus. But this morning, we have something special. We have baby dedications. If you are here for a baby dedication with a family or anything like that, I want to invite you up front. You're given some spots to stand. But if you're here for the baby dedication, I'd love to invite the families and the babies up front. Yeah, go ahead. Come on. Awesome. There we go. Oh my goodness. Man, put your hands together for him. This is awesome. I love it. Man, this is crazy to me because it's just so cool to see, like, to see God's faithfulness. I remember Andy, and it's too late. I'm going to share it. I remember Andy was, they were concerned that they weren't going to be able to have a child. But they stood on the word of God and said, look, I know what's going on with family and I know what they said of other people, but I know God's promises for us is a child. And now we have a beautiful baby, thanks to Jesus. I love it. It's so funny, too. Jenny was like, I'm having 10 kids. And then she had one kid. She's like, I'm good with one. But it's so cool to see God's faithfulness for the Passmores as well. She's so beautiful. She's so pretty. Hi, honey. How are you? She's not impressed with me. She doesn't care. She's like, tell this guy to get out of my face. Guys, it's crazy. Sarah's been coming to church here for like 1,000 years. Like, I feel like she was her son size when she first started coming here. And now she's raising babies in the house of God. That's powerful. That's what it should be. Hi. Oh my goodness. How old is he? She said, a lot of sleepless nights.
4 weeks Tuesday.
4 weeks on Tuesday. Precious. Isaac, do you have those? Oh, they're right here. Perfect. And then I have a nephew, apparently. No. Baby Ezra. I just found out I have a nephew, guys. No, this is really cool. To see the house of God growing, the family of God growing is powerful. And what we know is, man, baby dedication is not the salvation of the baby. It's the family deciding that in the house of God, in front of everybody, as a family, as a church family, and as families, we're dedicating this baby to God, to raise them in the house of God and in the ways of God, so that we can see people live for God generationally. It's powerful to see Corinne, his pastor's daughter, and now her child is going to be raised in the house of God. It's powerful to see Sarah grow up throughout teenage years, and now she's got her own babies being raised in the house of God, to see the Parks raise their daughter in the house of God. And now she's raising their daughter in the house of God. And the same with Andy. And it's powerful. And what we get this from is 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. And if you guys know scripture, what we know is that Hannah prayed for a baby. And God blessed her with this baby. And when God blessed her with this baby, she made a dedication. And she said this in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27, 28. She said, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked for him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. And this is a powerful moment where we're recognizing that these children, these families, this family is going to help to raise more believers in Jesus, that the world needs more of Jesus. And as they're raised in the house of God, they get to avoid a lot of the issues and mistakes that we saw and a lot of the hurt that we might have had, but they get to raise them in the house of God. Amen. Amen. We have some certificates for them for child dedication, and we're going to pray. And we're going to pray together as a family. Not just their family, but as the family of Christ. That these children would be dedicated to God. That they'd be set apart. And that God could have his way with their life. Yes. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now for the children that are being dedicated and the families. That, Lord, the dedication is that we would raise them in the house of God. lending them to God as he's lent them to us, that, Father, you've trusted us to steward their lives. You've trusted us to raise them in your house. So, Jesus, I just pray right now for direction and clarity. Father, the long nights, the struggles, the teenage years, that, Father, they're still going to be lent to you. And that, Lord, they would be raised in the house of God with the family of God, with a support system, so they wouldn't see the issues, they wouldn't go through the pain. But, Father, they'd be set apart. They'd be set apart to you inside of your kingdom for great and mighty things. So, Lord, let us know that you're right there with us. Make yourself apparent. And, Father, give us wisdom and strength as we raise them in your house. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Will you guys put your hands together? Awesome. For Sarah and Sam. Come on, put them together. The Passmores. Come on. Beautiful baby. And then Andy and Jenny. Will you guys put your hands together as they make this commitment to the Lord? Come on. Amen. Amen. This is awesome. Look at the family, God. I love it. I love it. Amen. Awesome. We put your hands together as they go ahead and grab a seat. Amen. I love that we get to do that. That's awesome. You guys know what else we get to do? I think in March. I don't remember the date. I should. Carla's going to yell at me for not remembering the date. But we get to have baptism soon. And you know what's awesome? We installed this bad boy like April last year because I was so sick of the portable one. But I can't wait to baptize people. Amen. We're coming up quick. Make sure on the website you can sign up for baptism. If you've not yet been baptized, we want to invite you. It's not like an afterthought. It's a sacrament. It is a very important thing in the kingdom of God. And I'd love to invite you if you say, hey, I want to get baptized. I'm ready to sign up for baptisms. So we can break in the tank. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited. We're going to test it out first, I hope. We'll figure it out. Don't worry, guys. We got it. Awesome. Let's pray. Well, we just prayed. Let's pray again. Father, thank you for your word. We love you. Lord, let us lean into it so we can be more like you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So, hey, guys, as you saw, pastor's not here because he was out of state and he's following the guidelines. So he'll be here next Sunday and we get to hang out again two Sundays in a row. I'm excited about it because I like you guys. But we know that this is the year to change forward, right? It's easy. We've all seen people change back. We've all seen people just stay stagnant. But this is the year to change forward because God has more for us in front than what's behind. If we're still alive, then there's more in front than there is behind. And it's interesting, when Pastor asked me to speak today, it was about changing forward. And when I was growing up in my house in Big Flats, I didn't know until about like seventh grade that you can move a house. It's still crazy to me that you can move a house. Like, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense in my head how you could actually move a gigantic house. But you can move a house. And what they told us is that our house used to be where the Big Flats Chemung Canal branch was. I think they shut it down. But our house was there, and it used to be a bar. But they dragged it through the field to a new foundation. And they placed this house that used to be a bar on a brand new foundation and turned it into a family home, not a bar anymore. And I started to think about, like, what a powerful thing where one thing, it used to be a bar and now it's a home, and what a crazy transformation that is. And that it used to be on one foundation, but now it had been transformed to another foundation, and it had sat on that foundation with no issues for years and years and years. And the craziest thing is, someone was telling us one day, he said, if you actually look from the back window out, you can see the indentations of where the house was dragged through the field even to that day. And it's wild because I started thinking about changing forward, because a lot of people think they're stuck with what they used to be, but in reality, there's an invitation to be brand new. A lot of people think that this old foundation is the only place they could remain, but God has a new foundation that he wants to prepare in our life. And then I started to think about it too, because a lot of people hate change. If you hate change, wave your hand at me. Change is often not fun, right? Who loves change? Let me see the crazy people in here. Awesome. I'm with it. I love it. But it's interesting because with change and moving that house, the indentations were still there. It left a mark. And oftentimes when there's change, there's a mark left. Sometimes it's people, sometimes it's actions, sometimes it's thoughts. But whatever it is, there's a mark that's left in our life. And a lot of times we look at the mark and we think that it's bad and we think that it's negative. But in reality, it's a testimony to God's faithfulness. I started thinking about it more. It's like, man, God gave an invitation to us as believers and as those who are starting to seek Christ. He said in Matthew chapter 7, you can be like a person who builds their house on sand. But when a storm comes, that house is going to have issues. That house is going to be destroyed. That house could get blown over. But then he gave the alternative to building a house on sand. He said, you could build your house on the rock. And that rock with a foundation and a home built on it is not moving, is not shaking, is not being lost. It is not changing. And I'll tell you what we saw this year, whatever could be changed, whatever could be shifted, got touched, got affected, and got shaken. 2020, 2021 has been a crazy 12 to 14 months. Like thinking about the nation was absolutely shaken in different ways. Culture was shaken in many different ways. The stock market this last week got shook up. It got shook up. Waiting for a short squeeze, guys. Pray for me. It'd be awesome. But for real, a lot of things that could be shaken were. Some liked it. Some hated it. But the reality is, change still happened no matter how we felt about it. And the question today is this: will you allow change to move you forward? Or are you going to have change keep you remaining in the past in an old foundation? And a foundation that can be shaken and a foundation that can be destroyed. The great truth that we need to realize is that anything in this world is movable except for God, who is outside of this world. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how long it's been around. It doesn't matter how great it is. If it's not God, it has the ability to change and be shaken and moved. But there's one thing that has never changed. There's one thing that's never changed his word, never changed his mind, and his name is God. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, God declared this through his prophet. He said, I am the Lord, and I do not change. This is why you descendants of Jacob were not already destroyed. It's interesting to think and thank God that he does not change, because if he looked at the descendants of Jacob and said, hey guys, you're lucky I didn't change or I would have wiped you out. Thank God that he hasn't changed, because we would have got wiped out. Thank God that he's not changing. Thank God that he's still about redemption. Thank God that he's still about restoration and healing in every one of his promises. Thank God for that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ was what he was in the past, and he is what he is today, and he will not change as we continue to move forward in the future. And that is reassuring as a believer, because while everything else changes, God's ordinance and God himself does not change. In Malachi, what he was saying is like, guys, I don't change, I'm consistent. And this is really good or really bad, determining on where you stand with God. If you're walking in obedience, the consistency of God is amazing. If you're walking on your own path, if you're doing your own thing, if you've disregarded God, him not changing is bad. What he was doing was calling his children back to himself, saying, I haven't changed, you have. And if you look at the children of Israel, they always had a choice. If you look at us, we have a choice for repentance or our own path. We have our choice on what we're going to build upon, our thing or God's thing. And Israel were a wild people. They'd go through and everything would be good, and then a new judge or a new leader would arise and everything would go back to serving the world. And then they'd have someone come along and they'd correct it and it would be great. And then they'd go back, and then it was a roller coaster. If you read through Judges and you read through the scriptures, it was a roller coaster of back to God and back to self, back to God, back to self, back to God, back to self. But inside of that, God himself never changed. It wasn't a new calling. It was the same calling. They rebelled, then they repented. They rebelled, then they repented. But inside of their indecisiveness, God himself didn't change. See, the nature of God never changes. In first service, we were singing a song. It was Jehovah Nissi. He's my victory. Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. Jehovah Shalom, he's my peace. And it's interesting, when we look through all of the names of God that we find in the Old Testament, there's a lot of them, but if we just zero in on some of them, what we realize is these weren't new names given to him. It was a new realization of his promises and who he was. They saw another side of God and gave a name for it. It's not that God changed. They just saw more of who he was. Think about it. Abraham is on a mountain about to sacrifice his son. And as he's about to sacrifice his son, an angel says stop, and he looks to the side, and there's a perfect sacrifice prepared. And what he says of God in that moment is he says, you're Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He had always been his provider, but now he just realized that that was a promise for him. Now he realized that was an accolade and an attribute of his Savior and of his Lord. Go through, you find Moses in Genesis, and they're having this battle, and people are holding up his arms, and then they start to say, you know what? He's Jehovah Nissi. He is my victory. He had always been their victory, but until that moment, they didn't realize who God was and what his nature was. Man, more and more things of God. He's our righteousness. He's our peace. He's our shepherd, Jehovah Ra. He's our joy. He's our healer. He's our provider. All of these things are unchanging. And what we realize about Scripture is that God's nature is unchanging. Amen. While the world is changing, God is constant. While the world is changing, God has been consistent. While the world is changing, God has been faithful, God has been predictable, and God has been trustworthy. Amen. Man, he's consistent to being a healer. He's constant to being a provider. He's predictable in giving us peace. Go through these things, and who God says he was, he has always been. Right. And oftentimes we get it mixed up because we see God how we saw our father, or a lack of seeing our father. Right. We start to attribute to God what we lacked in an earthly father. And we don't see him in the right light. And the fact that he will not let us down. He cannot let us down. He is not a liar. He holds his promises and his word that were written above his name. And even though there might have been a mistake or a mishap or a misstep by our earthly father, that's not who God himself is. He is constant. He's consistent. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. He's predictable. He is what he said he was, and he'll do what he said he'll do. He's not emotional like parents. Look, sometimes I just wake up with a bad mood, and I don't know why I had a bad mood. Anybody else? You're just staring at me like, well, that guy's crazy. We shouldn't let him preach anymore. All right, thanks, guys. You're the best. I love you, too. Or you just like something crazy happens in the middle of the day. Like, all right, my daughter's six. She's awesome, but she spills every single drink. It is so annoying. It's like, dude, you're 6 years old. What are you doing? You can like pour her a glass of milk. And she makes the same noise every time. She'll hit the glass of milk. She's like, oh. She's like, dude, get up and get a paper towel before it gets everywhere. Hurry up. Move. She's like, oh, my milk. Oh. As it's going everywhere. It's like, dude. And then you'll give her more milk. She's six, all right? She's not like two. Give her more milk. And within like 13 seconds, oh, my milk. I'm about to buy her a sippy cup at 6 years old. It's insanity to me. But I'll tell you what, it makes me mad. Because now I got no milk, and I got milk everywhere. Thank God milk is cheap again. But it's crazy. Because how we would react with the rest of our day is not how God would react. He's not up in heaven. He's like, man, what a dummy. They really messed that one up. I'm turning my ears off for an hour. He's not like an employer who gets mad at his employees. Like, I'm turning my emails off for an hour. Nobody's getting anything. Oh, you got an expenditure request? Psych. God's not like that. He's not going to stop answering prayers. He's not going to stop listening. He's not going to stop healing. He's not going to stop loving. He's not going to stop redeeming based upon his emotions. He's not emotionally driven. Look, imagine God in heaven. There's this like angel who's kind of, he's a deviant. I think that's a funny word. And then next thing you know, God's like, all right, nobody gets anything. Shut off all of you because the one. That's not how God operates. He's not moody. He's not emotionally driven. His promises are his promises. His yes is his yes. His no is his no. What he has for us is what he has for us. And it doesn't shift based upon his mood that day. Thank God that he doesn't change on his mood, because I think I'd put him in a bad mood probably a lot. Don't laugh at me, because it's all of us. Look, God's not fickle. Look, he's steadfast. He's not. He's constant. He's stable. You know what's not stable? Man. Man is a, we are a wild people. Look, God has been the same since before he ever even created the earth. God was the same when he birthed the heavens and the earth by his voice. God was the same when Abraham was on the earth. God was the same during the dark ages. God was the same in the 1800s for the Industrial Revolution. God was the same when cars came out. God was the same when the internet has come out. And God is the same today. What's not the same is man. What I've found about man, what we can see about man, is there's an always changing target for what we say will give us what we need, right? Think about it. 1 week, we all need this. This is what everybody needs. And then a week later, we find out it really wasn't that great, so we move on to the next thing. Think about even through the decades. Think about the 60s. Wild. This is what we all need. 70s, completely different. 80s, different. 90s, different. Man, cell phone age, completely different. Nobody in the 60s thought they needed more likes on their photos so they could have satisfaction. Don't laugh at the kids, because some of y'all thought acid was it. In love. In love. Put that one back. Sorry. Just came out. It might be my last time preaching. But the world presents a moving target. It's always changing. And if it has to change, then it can't actually be truth. If something's always changing, it can't actually be truth. If it's always changing, it can't actually be truth. And this is what we need to understand, that we have something, the world, mankind, always presenting a new opportunity, a new thing. Let's do this. Let's do this. It will give you the love. It'll give you the joy. It'll give you the peace. It'll give you the satisfaction. It will give you the purpose. Do this. But this is always changing, and we have God who's been consistent and constant from before man was ever even on the earth, saying this is the way for what you're actually looking for, and it's a solid target that has never moved. So if we're looking at a target that's never moved and a target that's moving, personally, I think it would be wise to say, what is the unmoving target? What's the thing that's always been constant? Who's the one that's always been constant? The one that's never changed their mind, never changed their promises, hasn't switched up the rules on people, is given everyone the same opportunity. That's the problem with progressive Christianity. It's actually not Christianity at all. It's not Christianity to say that everything you do is fine, just come to church. It's not true Christianity to start to declare something to not be a sin that God said was a sin. That's not Christianity. God doesn't need to update with the times. The creation does not dictate what the Creator does. The Creator dictates what is right and wrong inside of creation. God doesn't need an update. He doesn't need a better software. He doesn't need better thoughts. If He created all of this in perfection with like the right angle on the earth so we don't burn up and we don't get too cold, don't we also think that He has a good idea about how humans could conduct themselves so that earth could reflect Himself? God doesn't need an update. Christianity doesn't need to be rewritten. We need to remain to stand strong in love on what God has already spoken about things. His mind is not changing. If it was a sin then, it's a sin now. And why did He declare those things a sin? Because it would only hurt us in our relationship with Him. It wasn't so He could hold a little golden carrot in front of our mouth and say, oh, you could never touch this. It's joyful and it's fun. No, He built a fence so we didn't get hurt. Not to rob us of opportunity to keep things out that would destroy us. He didn't make a mistake. He did it on purpose because He loves us. He loves us so much, He built fences so we don't get injured and we don't get hurt. Man, there's fences at schools all over the place. Why? So kids can't get out. So they don't go run in the street as cars are driving by. We don't ever look at the school like, man, they are messed up. I can't believe that they would put fences around that so kids can't run around wherever they want. If you've had that thought, I'll pray for you. But we look at it like, man, that's smart. You know what? They put up a fence so that the kids, even if they do get out, it's way slower. Someone can stop them. Someone can catch them. Someone can help them. We think it's wisdom to build fences around schools, but not fences of holiness around our life. It's crazy. And then what we'll start to do is we'll start to be like, well, they won't really like me if they say this. Well, can I tell you what? Even if you say the other thing, they'll eventually not like you too. Because here's the truth. Let's say we move the ball on what God says is sin. You know when they're not going to like us? When they get to judgment and realize they didn't actually live for God. I'd rather build what God has here on holiness and truth than let everybody come in and say, live however you want. And then they get to heaven. And it's like, oh, shoot, I got duped. I got lied to. It wasn't really what it was supposed to be. What's worse? Like living by what men and women say is right or wrong is foolish because they're always changing what's right or wrong. Even think about Paul. I believe it's in Acts chapter 14. Paul shows up, someone gets healed, a couple people get healed, and the whole city starts praising him like he's a Greek god. And he stands up and says, hey, brothers, don't do this. Worship the one true God. And they're like, oh, okay. And then like five verses later, the Jews from Asia show up and the people that were worshiping him as a god dragged him out of town and tried to stone him to death. People's opinion changes real quick. You know who doesn't change is God. You know what God promised him a couple chapters later? I will be with you. I am with you as I was in the past and I'll be with you in the future. It doesn't matter what people say. God is with you and He's unchanging. Amen. Some people think that Christianity needs an update, that God needs an update, because Christianity is in trouble. Christianity is not in trouble. They thought Christianity was in trouble before the Second Great Awakening. You know what they actually said before the Second Great Awakening? Historians said Christianity won't be talked about in 30 years because it will be forgotten. We're a couple hundred years past that, and I think we're doing okay. What we need is believers to stand and build their foundation on an unchanging God. Because the world's not too far away to get back to an unchanging God. What else we know is that God's kingdom is eternal. He's not affected by culture. He's not affected by man's ideas. He's not affected by creation. He's not affected by our natural laws. His laws and how he does things supersede anything we do. And thank God for that, because God doesn't change. Think about it. If God changed, then the Lord's prayer would work for some and not for others. How would that be right? Faith would work for some, but not for everyone. Love would be granted to some, but not for all. Healing would be okay in some instances, but not for everyone. That salvation would just be for one or two, or this one or that one, and not an invitation for all. See, God's motivated by kingdom principles. He's motivated by faith. He's motivated by covenant. Faith, simply, I'm sure Pastor's going to talk about faith this year in terms of change. But faith is simple. If you don't understand it, it's a conviction of a reality that you can't yet see. You ever walked away from a job interview like, hey, I got that job. I know for a fact I got that job. Faith is like that times 100. You know it, times 100. No one can convince you otherwise. God's moved by faith. God's moved by faith in his word. That what God said he would do, nobody can ever convince you otherwise that he'll do what he said he'll do. Doesn't matter what the whole world looks like, the whole place could be on fire, and I still got faith that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. Everybody in the world could be against you, but God is going to do what he said he's going to do. That's faith. God's moved by faith. God's moved by love. And what's crazy is we have faith. We have access to the unchanging by faith. See, a lot of people, their life, their year has been built on sand. And 2020 exposed that a lot of things were built on sand. And the invitation this year is, let's build on what's unchanging, and that's God. And faith gives us access to God and that unchanging foundation. See, we're saved by grace through faith. We have access to God and his kingdom by faith. You can't earn it. You can't beg it. It's faith. It's belief that who he is who he said he was, and I will live for him and commit my life to him. That's faith. And what's interesting about having faith so we can have the unchanging is the unchanging is what lets me have faith. What do I mean by that? I mean that I can have faith because God is unchanging. I can't have faith in man because they're always changing. I refuse to have faith in any politician because almost every single one of them has been proven to be a liar. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do this. By the end of it, it's the opposite, or they miss a lot of the big things. But we can have faith in God because he's unchanging. See, while everything else is a moving target, God's not. While everything else is shifting and moving and saying, well, this is this, and this is this, and this is this, and God is not, I can have faith because God has been saying the same thing for the entire time. And because he's unchanging, it allows faith to be inside of my life. Yeah. That he's still healing. He's still loving. He's still redeeming. He's still putting marriages back together. He's still allowing people to come out of darkness and into the light. He's still doing all of these things that he's always promised that he would do while they're out here lying about the things they said they would do. And that's not just politicians. But often we get caught up in the shininess of it and how it looks, and we'll hit a target that's been moving instead of aiming at the unchanging target. Yes. Keep aiming at the one that's not changing. That's what can give me faith, is God has not changed his tone. He has not changed his tune. He has not said that, oh, psych, it was actually this. Because it's always been the same. And we have access to the unchanging through faith. And we can believe in the unchanging. Or we can have faith because we see the unchanging. See, God never changes, but he's definitely moving. And there's a big difference. Man, he's still Jehovah Jireh. He's still Jehovah Shalom. He's still Jehovah Nisi. He's still all of these attributes and accolades, but he's moving. In the Old Testament, one of the ways he predominantly moved was a cloud by day and fire by night. That would be crazy, all right? And some people are like, oh, I'd rather that. That way I can know God is real. No, in the New Testament, he's now living inside of you. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says that those who are the sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. So while God is not changing, he is definitely moving. And I've heard a lot of people that they'll say, well, I just want to see God do what he used to do. Okay, that's cool. But scripture, believers, this is more to older believers, more mature believers. Love you. To more mature believers, I thought that we weren't supposed to put new wine in old wineskins. That what God used to do back then, it might be a little bit different now, but it's the same thing in terms of the outcome. Redemption, healing, all of these other things, it's still the same outcome, just looks a little different. Well, I just want revival like we used to. That's great, but what is God doing now? You know that in the 1950s, I believe like Billy Graham and T.L. Osborne were some of the first people on television. The church largely rejected the use of television to spread the gospel in the 50s. We look at that now and be like, dude, that's crazy. Why would they do that? Why would you stop that? You know, when social media started live streaming and all that, a lot of churches were like, no, we're not going on social media with our church service. Well, it doesn't make sense to me. And now we have TikTok, we have all these social media avenues, and there's still a lot of like more mature believers who would cast shadow on that. But I know of I have a friend who helps run a TikTok thing. They have over 2 billion views. I believe it's 2 billion views sharing the gospel to Generation Z. God's still redeeming. He's just doing it in a new way. I don't know anybody that's spoken to 2 billion people personally. Same thing. He hasn't changed, but a new way. I'm thankful for what he did in the first Great Awakening, the second Great Awakening. I'm thankful for what he did at Azusa Street. I'm thankful for what he did at Brownsville. But I'm asking God, what do you want to do next? What's the new thing that you want to do? And if there's a new thing, can I be a part of the new thing? Because I don't want to get left in the back. I want to change forward. I want the unchanging God, and I want to be right where he's at, doing right what he's doing right now, right here. I don't want to miss it. He hasn't moved forward. He hasn't moved past all of his promises from the opening of Genesis to the last chapter of Revelation. It's always moved forward with one desired goal. Ready? Redemption, restoration, relationship with God. That's what he's been doing the whole time. He hasn't changed in redemption, restoration, and relationship with God. He's just doing it in new ways. And I want to be a part of the new way, and this place will be a part of new ways. Because we have a county that needs Jesus. There was just a young man shot last night. It's heartbreaking. It's horrible. We have people ODing left and right. They don't put it on the news anymore. It's heartbreaking. There's divorce, still massive in our area. There's poverty. 13.5% of Chemung County is in poverty. There's a lot of issues. What we need is to stop doing the same thing and do a new thing with the same God. So we can see this county turned upside down for Jesus. The question is simple. Are we moving forward with an unchanging God, personally and as a church? He's unchanging. There might be new ways, but he's the same God. God's ultimate will be accomplished. And the real question is, will we be with it or will we be watching it? And here's what I know about a lot of people that are watching it just from the life of Jesus. They're actually not celebrating it. They're criticizing it. Look at the religious people. I'm not going to be a criticizer. I don't want to be a watcher. I want to be right there with it. Why? A, because I love Jesus. B, people need the love of Jesus. What we do here, the verse here, John chapter 17, verse 3, that I want to know God. We want to know God, and we want to make him known. I have three simple questions. One, what is in my life that I have built as a foundation, but in reality it's sand? Let me give you it's easy to point out like the glaring ones, right? Like, oh, I've been watching this website for my joy, and it starts with XXX. That would be sand, and it's sin, and it's obvious. But what about the ones that aren't so obvious? Like, Here's a crazy one I heard the other day. I've never heard anybody say this, and it blew my mind. He said, if Jesus is supposed to be our fortitude, right? Jesus is our fortitude. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says that they broke bread daily, which means they were hospitable. They had people in their home. They enjoyed each other's company, all that stuff. He said, in fact, one of the requirements of being an elder or a leader in church is you have to be hospitable. He said, it's crazy because most people would say that the last thing baptized or surrendered is an American's wallet. He said, what I've seen is the last thing baptized or surrendered is an American's home, because what they see their home as is that's their fortitude. No one's coming in. No one's messing with it. This is my safe spot. This is where I am. Nobody's coming around it. He said, but it's crazy because wouldn't that be idolatry if Jesus is supposed to be our fortitude, but we treat our home as our fortitude? I was like, oh my goodness, that man's preaching. But have you created maybe money as your fortitude, not Jesus? Have you made your career your fortitude? Have you made your children your fortitude? What have you built on sand as a foundation? Because I don't want that to come crumbling down. But when you build on Jesus as your foundation, then those things aren't your fortitude. They're just an addition and a promise of what God has added to you. Amen. What about this? The second thing is if there's going to be change, it's going to leave a mark. A lot of people like the idea of change, but it's like February tomorrow, and our New Year's resolutions are already out the window. Because we don't like that it leaves a mark, because we don't like change. But sometimes change hurts. If you want to change, are you willing to leave that person? Are you willing to leave that thought? Are you willing to leave that action and view it as a mark and a testimony of what God can do in our life and not something bad that we can look at 56 years later and say, that's when the true change happened. That's when I built on the foundation, the rock of Jesus Christ, and everything shifted and changed in my life. Third question, simple, is like, are you willing to commit to the unchanging God? And some of you don't know Jesus. And with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I have the most serious question that you could be asked today is, do you know the unchanging God? He sent his son Jesus. Because inside of this creation, he realized that sin was an issue that would separate. And he sent his son Jesus so that no sin could come between us. He sent his son Jesus to overcome sin. And Jesus died on the cross, not only for our salvation, not only so we can go to heaven, but also so that he could have relationship with us every single day. It's not just about getting to heaven, it's about getting heaven into us. It's about building our life on what does not change, so we will not be destroyed as everything around us changes. And he said it like this. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, if anybody in this room saying, I desire Jesus, here's the invitation. Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow him daily. And when you do that, life will be absolutely changed to what God designed it to be. It's the best decision that you could ever make. Jesus said he is the only way to heaven. I know that a lot of people would say there's other ways to heaven. There's one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. It's not an astrology sign. It's not a rock you buy on Amazon. It's not any other religion. His name is Jesus Christ. I don't say that to be mean. I'm saying it to bring clarity. It's only Jesus. And he loves you. And if you're in this room right now and you're saying, I don't know Jesus. Or maybe you at one point served him. And you know that a lifestyle of sin has destroyed that relationship, and you want to get right with God. I want to give you that opportunity. I want to extend that invitation even this morning to surrender your life to the unchanging God. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to wave your hand at me real quick. We don't want to embarrass you, and I don't want to make you feel weird. We want to pray with you. We want to give you a Bible. This is not the finish line. It's a starting point. We want to run with you. If that's anybody in the room, said, I'm ready to get right with God for the first time, or I'm ready to shift some things and change and get right with him again. Amen. Here's my second question. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, it says this. God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. And if we ask those first two questions of what's in my life that was built on sand, I thought was a foundation, but it's actually sand. And then second question, are you willing to leave the mark and get rid of it? If you're ready to remove it, then guess what? There's some empty space in your life for God to do a new thing. And I believe that he wants to bring clarity. He wants to show us. He doesn't want to hide. He doesn't want to make it this moving target. He didn't do this so he could play hide and go seek with destiny. He did it so he can reveal to us a new thing that he wants to do in our life. And it's time for a new thing. And it's easy. I want to encourage you this week. Take time with God. Maybe take time with God and your spouse, but take time with God. And ask him, Father, what is it that was built on sand that needs to be removed? And what's the new thing you want to do? Maybe it's a small group. Maybe he wants you to start sharing the gospel more. Maybe he wants you to change your career path. Maybe, I don't know what he wants you to do, but God, I believe, is going to speak a new thing. He's the same God, but he's ready to do a new thing. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're going to do a new thing in our lives. That we're not going to be stuck in the same cycle, the same rut, the same thing. But Lord, you're doing a new thing this year. And I thank you, Jesus, as you do a new thing, you're unchanging. And as you're unchanging, Father, we'll run with you. We'll see great and mighty things through our lives. Because it's not just about what a preacher can do behind a pulpit, but it's what a body can do collectively in a community. So, Father, I thank you for empowering us to do things this year in a new way so we can live life built on a new foundation that will drag it across the field to a new foundation so we can have all of your promises in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, if you love him, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. We guys put your hands together for Pastor Obi as he comes to take the offering.
Come on, put your hands for Jesus. Phenomenal word. Amen. Can I have y'all stand to your feet? And we're about to enter the time we're going to prepare our offering. So you can grab an envelope that's in the front of your seat and you can begin to fill that out. If you like to give via text, we have the screen that is behind me. As you are going to fill that up, I want to remind you of two quick things. Number one, if you're a guest here, if this is your first time here, we want to invite you to our Connect Room. It is on your right, my left, right after this service. Or perhaps you've been coming here for a long time, but you just do not feel as if you are connected yet. We still want to be able to connect with you. Number two, I love to live life with other people, and that was God's intent according to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So if you have not joined a group yet, we want to invite you to join a group so you can go right outside that first desk. It says group. You cannot miss it. Go ahead and get signed up for a group. Amen? The Bible declares in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, that every word of God proves true. Every single word of God proves true. And we say this every single week. There is a declaration out of Deuteronomy chapter 28 where we say that we are blessed going in and we are blessed going out. We're blessed in our storehouse. And then we then begin to talk about every single other verse, that our barns will be filled, that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, addeth no sorrow at all, that wherever our feet will go, God will give to us. Whatever our hands will touch, they will prosper. We are the head and not the tail. We are above. We will lend. We will never borrow. There are so many blessings that come when you give. But there is a clause in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, that we really don't like to talk about. It's not sexy to talk about, but I'm going to talk about it today. Amen? All right, work with me. The Bible says, if you listen to the commandment. It is a conditional promise in which if you don't do what is before, you will not receive what is after. And when you actually break down in the Hebrew that word listen, it means that I'm going to engage with the intention to obey. So as we came in here to worship, we engaged with the intention to draw God's attention. We came here with every intention to give him the worship that he was due. When we listen to the word, we engage with the intention for the word to come into our heart and to do a work inside of us. And when we give with an intention that God, not only will we obey, but I know through my obedience, it will not begin to unlock every single thing that you've promised me in your word. He is God and he will not lie. He is not like the Son of Man that he shall repent, and every word of God proves true. So everything in the word that is a promise to you, you can hold on to it. if there is an intention to engage with him through obedience. So I'm excited today that as you give, I truly believe that by next Sunday, you're going to come and hunt us down and say, Pastor, guess what? A blessing came my way because I dared to take God at his word. And he proved himself yet again to be God. Who wants that to be the testimony next week? Amen. All right. If you're ready, if you give via text like I do, you can hold up your phone. If you give manually, you can hold up your tithe envelope. All right. Can y'all declare this after me? And we're not just saying this because it's cute to say. It is the word of God. And the Bible says that the power of life and death resides in your tongue. So let's speak life right now. Amen. Say it after me. Say, if I obey, then I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Now shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen, amen. Thank you so much for coming out to our 11 a.m. service. On your way out, you can drop off your offering. And one more time, if you are new to the house, we'd love to connect with you in our Connect Room. We'll see you next week.